as well as with our mature saints. And so tonight, the message more so is, I hope, will be something that will cause our senior saints, our mature saints in the gospel to make a much needed impression upon the youth, the church of not just tomorrow, but the church of today. And so tonight's lesson, if you have your Bibles, it will come from the book of Titus, beginning at Titus chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 10. Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, continuing to verse 10. And the Bible, it reads, it says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the younger men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." If I were to apply a subject to the passage of Scripture, it would go something along the lines of glorifying God as His people, young and old. Glorifying God as His people, both young and old. As we look through the pages of inspiration from the Old Testament to the New, we find a prevalent theme within the Bible, the theme of salvation of mankind through Christ Jesus to God's glory. We are able to fulfill our purpose and the ability to glorify God by letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's Matthew 5, 13 through 16. The profession of our Christianity through action, effort, service, love, ministry, perseverance, these are exemplary of good works. It doesn't just turn the spotlight on us as Christians, but it most of all turns the spotlight on God, our Father in heaven. As we peer into the second chapter of Titus, we find Paul instructing Titus to be an example or to set a pattern within the church at Crete, that it might encourage the glorification of God through godly living, which was meant to be perpetuated from generation to generation. As we look in the book of Titus, we want to look at a couple of points, and the lesson will be yours tonight. As Paul encouraged Titus, we first come to note that Titus' example was to strengthen the church, and he wanted Titus to impart that idea to older men and older women that the strengthening of the church, it starts with you. As we look within the first verses of the text, we see here that Paul, first he encourages Titus. He says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And first Paul, he says, before you, Titus, can be an example, or before you can expect others to be an example on this Christian battlefield, he says, "Titus, I need for you to be an example first." We see here that Paul, he wanted to impress upon Titus's understanding and his mind that he needed to be first an example in doctrine. You see, Paul, he says, "But as for you, Titus, I need you to speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And as we look within that statement, we see that Paul, he intended for Titus to promote doctrine that is wholesome. That word sound means healthy. That word sound, it means wholesome. It means solid. When we go for a doctor's exam or a visit, we're looking for a sound bill of health. Amen. And so Paul, he encouraged Titus. He said, Titus, I want you to teach a wholesome doctrine that people are able to build their lives upon in order to follow a pattern after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But see, I believe that Paul wasn't just talking about only teaching book, chapter, and verse. Amen. I believe that Paul, when he encouraged Titus to put forth the example of sound doctrine, he expected him to put forth an example of living what he preached. Amen. And you see, oftentimes as gospel preachers, it's easy for us to sit over the week and build a lesson that is needed for the church and its growth. But it's more important for us to not only preach a good message, but it's important for us to live that message, that lives that the membership for wherever we preach can be encouraged to be on fire for the Lord. You see, oftentimes that when we see the word to speak or we see the word speech, it doesn't only talk about what comes out of our mouths. If we look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, if someone has the King James Version, if you'll render that for me because it reads a little more strongly than the New King James Versions. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Okay, and we see here that word conversation in Hebrews chapter 13 is not only talking about what you speak, but it's about your lifestyle. It's about how you carry yourselves. And the New King James, it renders it, says, let your conduct be without covetousness. And so when we see that word speak, it gives us the understanding that it is not only what we talk about or what we say, but it's how we live in accordance with what we promote as Christians. And you see, Paul, he wanted Titus to impress upon the church at Crete in its infancy and in its upbuilding and its growth that in order to encourage others to be an example, Titus, I need you to be an example in doctrinal matters and hear, believe, repent, but I also need you to be an example in showing that if you trust God, that you need to live the life and not just talk about it. And so Titus, he wanted to impress upon the man of God, he wanted to impress upon the preacher that was left there to serve Crete to be an example and get the flame started, so to speak. And we see that once the spark was lit, as we continue on in Titus chapter 2 in the verses, we see that after Paul encourages Titus to first be the example, to set the standard, he says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that older men, amen? We see here that once we set the example as the men of God, as leadership, as ministers, as seasoned individuals, that others will be encouraged to live like Jesus would have us to live. Amen? And you say, well, what does that have to do with the youth? I'm getting to that. You see, God in his wisdom and knowledge, you know, I know that we have prayer as a key to go to God when we go through struggles and difficulties. But God in his ultimate wisdom and goodness, he allows us to have some tangible situations to help encourage us along the way, amen. How many of us know that we have brothers and sisters that have been through some things in life that we may come up on as younger people? And God sets those people, he sets our brothers and sisters that have lived life to be encouragement to us that we can make it. And that's what Paul is getting at to encourage Titus to see. He says, Titus, I want you to encourage older men and older sisters to take their place within the fellowship of God, within the fellowship of the body, so that there will be a perpetuation of the church down the road. As we look within the church setting, many of us that may have been here some decades, and if we are real with ourselves, we know that the numbers have dwindled over the years, amen? Huh? We don't see as many young families within the body as we used to. Amen? The picture oftentimes when we go and visit in some places is either mostly older saints that encompass the church setting, or a setting where there's a few younger families, or else new works that have started to where it's all youthful families. But see, God intends that the church continues not just tomorrow, but down the road. And the only way that it's going to continue is if we are willing to glorify God by the pattern that Paul encouraged Titus to set. If you bear with me, we'll look at a few things and we'll try to get on to the end of this here. We see that in strengthening the church and understanding our position as mature saints. You see, Paul, he wants the church to understand that mature saints within the assembly are meant to be pillars for the church. And oftentimes when we think of pillars represent a support structure which holds up the walls, which holds up the ceiling. And if by chance the walls or the ceiling were to come down and the pillars remain, you still have the opportunity to rebuild because the pillars represent structure. And you see, Paul, he encourages Titus to impress upon the church in Crete the necessity for brothers and sisters with some aged wisdom, with some seasoned shelf life, amen, with some silver linings upon their head to see their role and responsibility in the upbuilding and the continuation of God's kingdom. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That could also be paraphrased as to where there is no instruction, people die. Where there is no structure, there is no continuation. Because again, we understand that within that verse that we understood that in olden times that they relied upon the word of God or the vision from God to be able to know which way to go. Amen. And it's the same today. We have the word of God, and without the word of God, we don't know our coming from our going. But when it comes to some tangible things, some one-on-one things, and I give you the example, if a young man fresh out of high school goes to apply for a job as a aeronautical engineer at NASA, amen, he wouldn't be able to accomplish that task because he doesn't have the vision. He doesn't have the instruction to be able to carry out that work. And it's the same way with the church coming up behind us. We have the word of God, but if we don't understand how to get into the word of God, if we don't understand how to take the word of God, then there is no vision for continuation. You see where I'm going with the point. And so God intends that our seasoned saints take their role as pillars within his fellowship. Paul, he notes some things that need to be impressed upon our men and seasoned sisters that is going to impact down the road. We see here Paul, he says, I want you to encourage older men and older women, because as you go on, it says, and women likewise, so I'm putting it together. He says, I want you to encourage them to be sober. And that word sober, it means to be alert. It means to be watchful. It means to be circumspect. It means to be able to see down the road the possibility of some danger that awaits you. And how many of us know that as young people, when we get out in the world and when our teenagers go into college, there's some things that they don't see down the road that we as parents see. There's some things down the road that our young people see that we have been through and they don't understand what they may be facing, but all they see is the good times and the life and the newness and the freedom of life. And so Paul, he says, older men, older brothers and sisters, I need you to be sober. I need you to be watchful. And that word watchful, it even implies or gives us the understanding of looking out for someone else's soul. And so God, he needs us, he needs our brothers and sisters that have experienced some life, that have experienced some hardships, that have experienced some joys in this Christian walk, to be sober and watchful, because we need you. And Paul, he encourages Titus. He says, Titus, I want you to encourage men and women to be grave-minded. And that word grave-minded doesn't mean that you buried in the grave. It don't mean that you're dead. But it means that you have a seriousness about you when it comes to the work of God and about God's business. That word grave is talking about carrying yourself in self-respect. It gives you the understanding or the implication of keeping one's word when you say you're going to do something, that you are of the mindset to do what you said you're going to do when you said you're going to do it. Amen. That word grave, it talks about keeping your commitment. It gives us the understanding that it's not just about my reputation, amen, but it's about who we serve's reputation. When we as Christians and we live in this world and we say, hey, to whether in our workplace or with those of our family members that are not Christians, when we say, hey, you can count on me, and they know that you are Christian and you say you're a Christian, but yet you can't come through. When you say you come through, that doesn't only reflect on you, it reflects upon God. And so Paul, he says, I need you to encourage the brothers and sisters that have lived life, that have gone through some things, to be sober-minded. I need you to encourage them to be grave-minded or serious when it comes to God's business, not to be in clowns and jokers all the time when it comes to God's business. It's not saying that we can't have a good time when it comes to doing ministry and doing the work of the Lord, but when it comes to taking care of God's business and living the life and showing the world that we believe who God says he is, we need to have some seriousness about us instead of some clowning around all the time. You see, Paul, he encourages Titus. He says, Titus, man, I need you to impress this upon the church so that the church will continue down the road, because there is so much pulling at the church today. There's temptation on the outside. There is the world saying that God doesn't exist, and there's the world that says that we need to change our doctrine to suit other people's needs. But Paul, he says, I need some brothers and sisters to be watchful of other people's souls. I need some brothers and sisters that have been through some things to be serious minded, because God's work is serious business. And he says, I need you to encourage brothers and sisters to be temperate. That word temperate is not changing like the thermostat. That word temperate gives us the understanding of having some self-control. Amen. It means following sound reasoning. It doesn't mean going with every whim of doctrine or what we judge is right or wrong when we don't have any conclusive evidence. But that word temperate means that we have some self-control about ourselves, that we're not fanning over every skirt that walks by as aged men, that we're not falling out over every strong bicep and muscle that walks by for my sisters, but it's controlling our physical passions. It's about controlling our spiritual senses instead. And focused on the work that we have as God's children. You see, Paul, he encourages Titus to encourage the church at Crete, that in order for the church to be strengthened and grow, I need you to encourage these men and women to take their place within the fellowship. He says, I need you to encourage them to have a sound faith. Huh? We talked about the word sound when we talked about doctrine. It's talking about a healthy faith. It's talking about a healthy trust in God. How many of us know some folks sometime that whenever situations come up, they panicking and it's the end of the world and we don't know what we're going to do. And sometimes these are individuals that have been naming the name of Christ for decades, but yet their faith is not where it should be. Amen. And see, Paul, he's encouraging Titus. He says, Titus, I need you to encourage some men and some women to have a healthy faith, a healthy trust in God, and understanding that when hard times come, that they're not going to quit, that they're not going to waver. And if we look at these things are not just listed so we'll look good, but they are listed to encourage those coming up behind you. You see, amen, how, again, and that's the wisdom of God as we just park here and just look at how God places this puzzle together for us sometimes. Again, as I mentioned, yes, we have the avenue of prayer. We have the avenue of trusting in God. But God, He is gracious enough to give us a ram in the bush sometimes to see Him working in these difficult situations. And we, it sometimes is needed as a young 40-something year old man to be able to go to a brother or sister that has a sound faith when they've been shaken in some things in their lives, and I'm able to go to them when I'm disturbed or when I'm tried in some situations. It doesn't do any good for me to go to somebody that's shaking and wavering themselves, because they'll say, man, Monroe, you might as well just pack it up and quit. But when we're able to find someone that has been established as a pillar for the sake of Christ, as God meant it to be, we're able to go to them and get some instruction and get some encouragement to keep on going. Can we see how God works this situation out for the continuation of His church? And God, and Paul, he encourages Titus. He says, Titus, with all those things, I need you to encourage brothers and sisters to have some love. I believe it was Paul that said over in 1 Corinthians 14, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, 1 Corinthians 14 or 13, where he gives the understanding that if we do ministry in all manners, but we don't have love with that, and he said, is it in vain, that it is worth nothing. And it's the same way with this situation here. Paul basically sums it all up to say that if you have sobriety in life, if you have control of your passions, if you have a sound faith, if you are have a good reputation in the church and in society, but if you don't have love and you can't express love and you can't teach those coming up behind you to have love, then it is of no value for God's benefit. You see, I understand that some of us in here may have grown up in an era where it was uncouth or not the social norm for a man to express love to his son or to his grandsons. Amen. Maybe not him, but I know in some cultures it's not the norm for a older man to be able to hug his son, because that was not macho. Amen. But maybe not in here, and that's a good thing. But I know in some circles it's unheard of for certain age brackets. But I'm stopped by to tell you today that it's okay to let your sons and your daughters know that you love them. It's okay to let you to hug and to embrace your children and let them know that you love them as God loves you and God loves them as well. And I understand that Paul is just not talking about that type of love, but that he's talking about within ministry that men and women, he expects them to set the pattern that we're willing to extend ourselves because we love Christ as Christ loved us, and that we're willing to put our hearts and our service in ministry and not just do it as some tangible thing because we are only commanded to do so. But Paul, he encourages this pattern to be set within the church. And you say, well, you know, what is, and let me just touch on one more thing, and I promise I'm pressing on. And Paul, he says, I need you to encourage these brothers and sisters that are pillars or that are to be established as pillars within the fellowship of God's body to have some patience. And that word patience is not just talking about waiting out the storm only. But it's and I generally park on this because I've had, I guess this has been, it seems, my test in over the past couple of years to have this cheerful, enduring patience. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about a hopeful patience in the face of trial or in the face of tribulation. It's the Greek word that is known as hopomune. And if I mispronounce that, some of you Greek scholars help me out. But it's talking about having a cheerful, cheerful is the key, a cheerful, enduring patience. And oftentimes when folks are on your neck or on your backside and talking bad about you and doing all sorts of things to you, it's hard to be cheerful and patient to get through that. Amen. And so Paul, he says, I need some of you brothers and sisters that have been talked about, some of you brothers and sisters that have been railroaded, some of you brothers and sisters that have been spat upon and you turned the other cheek. I need you to teach that to those coming behind you, because sometimes when you face with those things as young people, the first response is this is not worth serving God, because I didn't expect this when I came into the fellowship of God and gave, washed my life up, and I didn't expect all of this trial and tribulation. And so again, in the wisdom of God, we see that God says, I need you, Titus, to encourage some men and women to be pillars, because hard times are going to come, and after they've endured life, I need them to encourage those coming behind them to endure life too, because it's worth it. You see, can we see the wisdom of God in this thing? Can we see His preciousness and His concern for us? God doesn't just give us the book and say live by it, but He expects to give us some examples in each and every one of us as we go through things, that we're able to impress upon others that you can make it if you keep trying. You see, the goodness of God is that He doesn't just leave us with His word solely. He expects us to commit ourselves to one another. And I know sometimes when we go through things, it's not always easy to share that with folks. Amen. Because of the shame sometimes, because of the pain sometimes. But again, God doesn't intend for us to go in depth and verbatim all the times. It's not all the times a public situation that we can go to, but it's an opportunity to go to our brothers and sisters that you may see struggling with what you've been through. Amen. And you're able to take them to the side and say, brother and sister, I see you going through some difficulties. I've been there. I've done that. Let me give you some conversation. Can I sit down with you and talk with you that it might help you to keep on going? And see, that's what God is talking about in Titus chapter 2, in setting a pattern within the church so that the church can continue, because the church is dying because we're not willing to share what we've been through when we've been through some things and we see our brother and sister on the pew hurting and crying and weeping and about to head out the door. And if we let them head out the door and we know we could have did something, then we're not being what God has expected us to be for the continuation of His church. And you say, well, what does that have to do with the youth? It has a lot to do with the youth. It has a lot to do with the generation that's coming behind us. I'm just thankful that somebody took some time to help me to see that it's worth to keep going, church. That's what God intends for each and every one of us to do. We go through situations in our lives for our own strength and our own betterment. Amen. We go through some situations in our lives to be able to help others to make it. And you see, that's the picture that Paul is trying to get Titus to create or to set, that pattern. It may not be a specific orderly pattern that the leadership has to put within the dynamics of the church. But Paul says, Titus, is a mindset that each and every one of our brothers and sisters, especially those that have been through some things in life, that they should have the love and that the care that the church will continue. And we see within the text that the text continues to say that as the older saints, or that the older men and older women give this encouragement. And sisters, I didn't stop and hang out on y'all too much, but I'ma just drop a little dime and keep on moving on y'all. And within that text, it says, sisters, teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Huh? And I know sometimes we're not so easy to love. Amen. Huh?
Talk to us.
We're a little rough around the edges sometimes, no matter how many years it's been. But as we look with, again within our fellowship, as we look within the church, we understand that marriage and sticking together is not as prevalent as it used to be. And again, I understand that sometimes that endurance and that willingness to put up with that hard-headedness of that man and that roughness is not there. And so we need some of you older sisters that have endured to be able to give that encouragement to the younger sisters, that they would know how to love their husbands, that they would know how to make him feel like a man. How to encourage him to be all he can be for the sake of Christ. And Paul, he continues on as he has encouraged Titus to man, it's one more thing. Can I just drop one more thing? And I'm telling you, I'll get on to the young people. I know sometimes older brothers and sisters that there is discouragement in trying to fulfill your roles as encouragement to us younger somethings. Because sometimes it seems as if it goes in one ear and out the other. Amen? Sometimes you just want to say, I don't have nothing else to say for that child, or I quit. Amen? But I stop by to encourage you that if you quit, then nothing gets resolved or continues. And I give the example, and my kids, I know they're tired of me using this example, but I give the example, just the commonness of, okay, in our children, if we stop telling them to clean up their rooms, amen, and that's a daunting task. Five kids, keep your room clean, keep the living room clean. It's a everyday thing, and even more so for my wife. But if we stop telling them to do what they needed to do, or encouraging them to do what they needed to do, then the house would look like an episode of Hoarders. And have y'all seen that show on A&E? And so y'all get what I'm saying. And so I know that it can be tiresome sometimes, but you never know what your encouragement, what your persistence, and when you see something wrong in your encouraging words. I know that it's tiring because again, I can attest for that for my grandmother and my mother. But if my grandmother could see me now, she would see that her encouragement, it did sink in, even though she didn't think.
All right.
Amen?
All right.
And I'll press on. And so, don't stop being what God intended you to be. And we see that as Paul, he presses on, he says, once this pattern or this mindset is set in place, that the seasoned saints, that those that have had some gracious shelf life, that they're able to see their worth and their value within the body of Christ, that these things are to be noticeable by the youth, that they bring forth some fruits that you may not see in this lifetime. 1 Peter 3:15, it gives us where Paul is going as far as in Titus. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense or answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." And we see here that as Paul transitions to the encouragement of Within verses 6 through 8, it says, "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." And we see here that Paul basically, he wants Titus to understand that the whole purpose of the church working together as it is so that the next generation is able to stand on their own feet, that they're able to stand when it comes time to take the place as pillars within the church. Amen. You know, I was encouraged. I had the opportunity to go down to Montgomery and preach at a church, a good friend of mine that I've known for some 15 going on 20 years. And his sons, when I first met him, his sons were like my son's age. You know, they were small. And to be able to go there and worship with them and preach for them, his sons are carrying out the service. And the young men in that age group, they are carrying out the service. And he basically says, "Hey, Monroe, I can go sit down until it's time for me to preach." And these young men are able to carry out the service. And they do so enthusiastically. They do so looking forward to do it. They do so not in a grudging manner. You don't have to force them. You don't have to call them and say, "Hey, are you going to show up?" But they come willingly. They come ready to serve. They come ready to carry out the work of the church. And see, that's what Paul is encouraging Titus to encourage within the church. I understand that not everybody, not all young people are going to come and have that excitement. But again, there, once we impress upon some of our young people, besides just goals of being an engineer and doctor and scientist, all of that is good because we have to make a living. Amen. So y'all don't say, "Man, Brother Monroe was talking bad about getting the education out." No, sir, no, ma'am. That's needed, but we also need to have some goals for our young men, that they aspire to be preachers one day, that they aspire to be elders one day, that our sisters aspire to be teachers one day, that they aspire to be able to carry out ministry within the church as well. You see, and the only way that we're able to do that is to present a picture to them of wholesome living, and saying that when we say we trust God, we show that to our children. Deuteronomy 6, if you have time to read that, when Moses was giving instruction to the children of Israel, he first said, "First of all, Israel, I need you to acknowledge and set it within your hearts to know that God, He is the one Lord, the only Lord." And He says to love Him with all your heart, with all your being, with all your soul and all your mind. And then He continues on and He says, "Commit these things to your memory, commit them to your heart, commit them to your mind." He says, "Set that reminder upon your doorpost." He says, "Set that reminder on your wrist and at the entrance and the exit to your city." And He says, "Commit them to your sons and to your sons' sons." Huh? He says to set that example of how you love God and who you say God is as you're talking. He says, commit that to the young people, to the young generation coming up. And the only way that our generation of youth are going to be able to stand up and say that they believe who God is and what the church is supposed to be is if we are willing to set the pattern that God expects us to. And that's how we glorify God. All of that, to get back to that, that is how we glorify God, by doing His will and imparting that to one another. And so I encourage my brothers and sisters to give that encouragement to the generation coming behind us. And so that's what it has to do with the youth, even though I didn't directly get on the youth today. I pray and trust that we have the love that God has had for us, as He has placed within the body tangible things, along with prayer and trust in Him to be able to make it. And we ought to have that care and concern that the generation coming behind us would have the same opportunity, or even better, to make it. Because if we're not willing to commit ourselves to God and commit ourselves to showing the love that we have for them that are coming up behind us, then we can expect that the church would not continue as it should. And so tonight, I encourage you to be all you can be for the service of our Lord. And tonight, if you haven't been all you can be, if you haven't been that encouragement, you have the opportunity to do so as God has, as you're still breathing and living right now. Amen. God is gracious to allow us to make a change the next moment that we decide to. But we can't take for granted that if we say, well, I'll do it tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. Amen. And so I encourage you that if you're able to be a furtherance to God's service, to commit yourselves to it. This might not be teaching a Bible study. It might not be. But you know what you can do. Amen?
Amen.
To helping the furtherance of God's mission. The furtherance and the upbuilding of God's kingdom. If you're not a Christian tonight, I invite you to come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was willing to go up on the cruel cross of Calvary and give his precious life that a sinner like you and myself might be saved. And if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to get to know Jesus Christ, for he was willing to shed up his precious blood that we might be reconciled to God in heaven. You must hear the word of God that